Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned the focus of the message today is on Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 26. Just want to highlight verse 24 again. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. It's the classic example of childhood angst, choosing teams for some Phi Ed game. And at the risk of dredging up some perhaps painful memories, you know the situation I'm talking about. The teacher picks two captains who then go to their areas in the gym, and then they stand there and take turns picking their closest friends. And then together with their closest friends, they openly discuss of those who are left, who's going to help them win, and of course, who isn't, and then picking accordingly. And then finally comes the last stage as those who are left, deals start getting made as to who has to take which liability. Yeah, it's not an exciting or a fun time. And in fact, as you take a look of it, you can see everything from psychological tendencies to social norms to stereotypical profiling all on display. It is a petri dish of human choice and behavior. Yeah, not a great time. And that's just about being chosen to play a game. Today in our text, we're looking at choosing to serve in a ministry. And you can imagine how much a greater scale that might have been. Luke, the inspired author of Acts of the Apostles, writes to his dear friend Theophilus, and he begins his account of this choosing to serve among the early Christians and sets the stage with three simple words: in those days. And this isn't just, you know, once upon a time. This is a very specific set of days. It references sometime in a 10-day period. So Jesus has ascended into heaven, tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and await the outpouring of the Holy Spirit 10 days later on Pentecost. They go back to Jerusalem and kind of hang out together, not knowing what's going to happen. I mean, these are days of angst and uncertainty. They were days of anticipation and probably even a little bit of fear. I mean, sure, Jesus had left them with incredible training, eyewitness accounts of the miraculous, clear purpose and direction, and promised power to put it all into practice. Talk about exciting times, huh? But until that promised power of the Spirit was given on Pentecost Sunday, there were a few questions to be answered, a few doubts to be assuaged, and as we find in our text on this festival Sunday, a few organizational holes to fill. Peter stood up among the brothers and said, "Gentlemen, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David about Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. Judas was counted as one of us and was given a share in this ministry." And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit in case you're following along. "Indeed, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let someone else take his position.'" Simply, in the interest of time this morning, we're going to keep our focus on Matthias as Judas's replacement and not, as the saying goes, get into all the gory details about what happened to Judas. Simply, or suffice it to say, Judas took his life at his own hand, having chosen his own path, betraying the Savior of the world, and now that left a vacancy among the disciples. And it's during these days of anticipation that, as you would expect, impetuous Peter stands up among the group and says, "Hey, we've got a gap that needs filling, and we need to take care of this." Only it's interesting to me that while Peter stands up, he's not assuming any type of leadership role. He's just kind of the guy that said, "Hey, saw something that needed to be taken care of and is doing it." In fact, it's not even Peter and the other 10 disciples that are getting together and talking and saying, hey, we really got to find somebody to replace Judas. It's the group. 120 people gathered together, probably about 50% more than what we have here this morning, all gather together in one place, and while they're together, Peter says, hey, there's a vacancy. We need to fill this slot. Jesus has chosen 12 of us to carry, in a special way, to carry out this apostolic ministry. And right now, there is someone who is missing, and we need to take care of it. And so pointing to Psalm 109, verse 8, they propose to fill the role from someone from the group. Peter starts the process of choosing someone to serve when he says, therefore, it's necessary that one of the men who accompanied us during the entire time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from his baptism by John until the day Jesus was taken up from us, become a witness with us of his resurrection. In other words, the very same qualifications for the new guy were the same qualifications for the current group of disciples. Jesus had graciously assigned this apostolic ministry to them, and they were intent to carry it out, complete in number as Jesus directed. But note how Peter does this. Note that he does not emphasize apostolic status. He emphasizes apostolic service for which the disciple would be chosen. The time with Jesus was essential in carrying out this service. Spending time with Jesus, being instructed by Jesus, seeing what Jesus did, including his resurrection, all of this needed to be there in order for the disciple, whoever the replacement would be, to be able to be that eyewitness out there in the world. After all, they were taking this gospel message to the ends of the earth at the cost of their lives. So who would it be? You can almost picture it, right? You know, Peter kind of standing there, looking at everybody. Maybe having a little quiet conversation with James and John, you know, the other two that he used to get together with. You can almost picture it, right? I mean, it just feels like Phi Ed class as they're looking to pick teams, right? I wonder how many of the people that were there thought to themselves, oh, it should be me. I should be the chosen one. I was there the whole time. I wonder how many of them thought, I hope they don't choose me. I don't want to do it. I would imagine that there were probably still others who thought, nah, disciples will do whatever they want anyway. It doesn't matter what I think. Maybe some were even a little resentful because they felt like they were entitled to serve. And how could they not be considered? Maybe others had been kind of burned by fellow believers and said, if that person is going to be on that group, I don't want to be a part of it. Or maybe there were still others who thought, you know, I was with Jesus the whole time. Maybe it's time for somebody else to take a turn. It's easy to go there, isn't it? Especially when we consider our own experiences with church and service in God's kingdom. The wrongs, the hurt, the attitudes that can creep into our sinful service to the Lord. We recognize the shortcomings that we have and the shortcomings of others. We recognize that we have a lot to learn, and yet we still sometimes feel like we are entitled, that somehow we should be the one. That all gets kind of wrapped up, doesn't it? But what keeps us focused is not on the who, but on the what. What keeps us focused is not on our status, but on the service. What keeps us focused is when we're not looking at or asking ourselves, who do you think, or who do, not, don't you know who I am, compared to how can I serve? No, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Do you realize that never once did Jesus use his status to force someone to do his will? Never once. No, Jesus used his service to win people to his will. To win people through law and gospel, through love and truth, through patience and understanding, through instruction and biblical influence, through sacrifice and triumph. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, including you and including me, and including the 120 that had gathered that day in Jerusalem. We don't know how they arrived at the two that they did, but they, not Peter, not the 11, but the group, proposed two names for consideration as servants of Christ. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry, from which Judas turned away to go to his own place. Then they assigned lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias. We don't know exactly what that looked like, though it was common, and the Greek would seem to support that they did it in the way where both names of Joseph and Matthias were put on like maybe two tiles or two shards of pottery. They were put in a jar, and then the jar was shaken until one of those shards or tiles popped out. And whatever shard popped out, that was the one. Now, it seems like it was sort of a random way to pick someone, but everybody was good with it because of the old proverb. Proverb 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The lot fell to Matthias, so he was counted with the 11 apostles. We are blessed today to install our congregational elders and our members of the Board for Lay Ministry for the coming year. They have been chosen to serve. They will give their time and talents to serve this congregation and our community at large. They've been proposed and chosen to serve in these leadership roles for the spiritual welfare and the public ministry of this congregation. They have been chosen to, in humbleness, in gentleness, in meekness and firmness, in Christ-like fashion, to serve alongside us and guide the rest of us in our various roles and functions as organizers and coordinators and decorators and teachers and servers and helpers and preachers and counselors and evangelizers and fixers, and the list could go on and on. All of us, that whole list of people, a chosen people, living as servants of God, as Peter puts it. This is not only what we celebrate on this festival of Matthias, but what we imitate today and every day in this service to the Lord, furthering his kingdom work, different gifts, different roles, different opportunities, yet all of us chosen to serve as a grace given to each of us through Christ. I think it's interesting to note that after Matthias is chosen, just like Joseph Barsabbas, just like most of the other disciples, just like the other 120 that day or a few days later, the 3,000 that were gathered in Jerusalem that day or countless believers since, Matthias is never heard from again. All we know is that he was put to work in God's kingdom, and that the Lord Jesus used him and them and others and still uses you and me to spread his good news to the ends of the earth, calling to the lost, working in the harvest field of souls, chosen to serve, to take what we have been given in the Lord and put it to work in God's kingdom, because it's about service, not status, when you're chosen to serve. God bless your service in his kingdom to the glory of his name. Amen.